Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the new movie, Greenberg, starring Ben Stiller, an awkward, angry 40-year-old man still can't really get his life started. He's just out of hospitalization for a nervous breakdown and is hanging out at his successful brother's big house in L.A. The film's Roger Greenberg is nobody's idea of a good time, but he is compelling and revealing in the hands of writer-director Noah Baumbach. From his debut, Kicking and Screaming, to The Squid and the Whale, to Greenberg, Baumbach has made a reputation where indie filmmaking meets mainstream cinema. This hour On Point, Greenberg director Noah Baumbach is with us. You can join the conversation. Have you seen Greenberg? Is this character redeemable? And what do you see in the work of Noah Baumbach? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Noah Baumbach joins us now from Los Angeles. He's the co-writer with his wife, Jennifer Jason Lee, and director of the new movie Greenberg, starring Ben Stiller and Greta Gerwig. He wrote and directed Margot at the Wedding and the Oscar-nominated The Squid and the Whale. He's collaborated as co-writer on the Wes Anderson films Fantastic Mr. Fox and The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Noah Baumbach, welcome to On Point. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Tom.
Was it difficult to get Ben Stiller to play such a pretty thoroughly unlikable guy?
Not really.
Come natural?
Well, we didn't really think of him as thoroughly unlikable. We were interested in what made him who he was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were clearly aware that there was some bad behavior there. But it was really about understanding this guy.
About understanding a guy who can be awfully cruel to people around him, all pretty unrelievedly self-centered, though not entirely, whose big goal at the moment at age 40 is to do nothing. You don't make him he's certainly far from a lovable character. This is one prickly character in Roger Greenberg.
Right, but I think as you learn over the course of the movie, this is somebody who is trapped in himself. He's trapped in an idea he had of himself when he was 20. He's somebody who hasn't fulfilled what he hoped to fulfill. And as I started to write the character a couple of years ago, I felt like I knew so many of these people who had become pricklier as they got older because they weren't who they wanted to be in some way, or they had a sense of who they should be, and their life wasn't cooperating. And I felt real sympathy for these people, and I feel that for Greenberg.
You've got to have a little armor to get next to the person in that situation. In this case, the character Roger Greenberg. Here's a scene from Noah Baumbach's film, Greenberg, played here by Roger Greenberg, played by Ben Stiller. Here is with his friend Ivan, played by Reese Ifans, who you may remember as the roommate in Notting Hill, kind of unforgettable performance, and a great performance here again. The two of them go out to dinner for Roger's birthday, and Roger Greenberg mocks the behavior of a loud group laughing and clapping at a nearby table.
Hey, over that. We're talking out of this time.
Laughing already demonstrates appreciation. The applause seems superfluous. And also, it's like, just treat the restaurant like it's your living room, guy. I'm weirdly on tonight.
Shall we order?
Maybe I should have invited Florence. Or I should have had a party.
Birthday's a hard one.
It's a weird aging, right? It's like, what the f*** is going on?
I know. Youth is wasted on the young.
I'd go further. I'd go, life is wasted on people.
life is wasted on people, says character Roger Greenberg in Noah Baumbach's new film, Greenberg. Wow, just a great supporting role there by Reese Ifans. Just wonderful. We remember him standing in his underwear in the flat in Notting Hill as Julia Roberts tries to get in and out. But here he really brings some depth to the role of the old friend who was sort of had his life really maybe not ruined, but certainly sent down a bad path by Greenberg.
Yeah, I mean, what Reese really has, which was perfect for Ivan, is he's both. There's a real gentleness and sweetness about him, but at the same time, you really feel like he's lived life. There's a character who's gone through some things, who's been in rehab and had a drug problem, and he's going through a separation when we meet him, and Reese is able to do both. I think really. You really feel deeply for him.
Noah Baumbach is with us, a co-writer and director of the new film Greenberg. We're going to learn a lot about this film and his life of work in film this hour. Noah, we've got listeners lining up to talk with you already, and I'd like to get their perspective on the movie and maybe movies. Providence, Rhode Island. Mark, you're on the air with director Noah Baumbach.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Noah. Big fans of both. I just saw Greenberg over the weekend, and as I walked in, you know, they say cordially, oh, enjoy the show. And I said, oh, of course I'm going to. And the usher said, well, actually, a lot of people are leaving, only giving it one star.
Oh.
And I said, no, I'm a huge fan of Squid and the Whale. I'm a huge fan of Life Aquatic, and I'm a huge fan of Margo. I own all on DVD. I bring people of the house and make them watch it. And I guess this leads to some sort of question. People tend to walk away going, oh, those are awful people. Why'd you make me watch that movie? And I can watch those films with not great people and really walk away with something because I'm interested in the whole spectrum, especially the ugly of people. But does that factor in, Noah, when you're making characters? Are you worried that people can't distinguish between not liking the characters and not liking the film?
Noah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think in some ways, I don't think about that. It's not a question I'm that interested in. I think, first of all, I think these characters are only really unlikable, if we're going to use that word, compared to other traditional movie characters. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're particularly unlikable compared to most of the people we know.
Compared to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying for here is something is these movies. The reality of these movies is—it's not. I'm not saying that it's like life exactly, but there is a certain verisimilitude to real experience that I'm approximating. And if you compare them to characters in a traditional romantic comedy, or I mean, we're all very familiar with the trajectory of our heroes in conventional movies, these characters aren't going to fit into that mold and are going to seem unlikable, or you're going to get angry. You're going to say this wasn't fulfilling. If you're looking – certainly if you're looking to see a Ben Stiller movie like some of the bigger comedies he's done, this is not going to satisfy that. But I think if you're open to the movie and you give over to it, it gives you something else, and I hope it gives you insight into I mean, not only the fictional characters, but I do think the movies, and I think this is true of all my movies, they give back in a lot of ways what you give to them, and I find that's why I have lots of people. Well, some people find my movies funny, some find them very painful, and I'm totally open to any of these reactions as long as they've engaged with the film.
What are you setting out to do when you set out to make a film, when you choose the material? I mean, it's clearly not just a ho-ho entertainment. So what's the mission you have in mind?
Well, this may be surprising, but I really set out to write a comedy every time I'm out.
Okay.
I think a comedy, what I find funny, which then often turns into a movie that isn't considered a comedy.
I don't know. I saw Greenberg last night, and I have to say there was a lot of laughter in the hall.
Yeah.
There was a big turnout last night.
Well, I'm interested in movies where comedy and pain can exist simultaneously. It isn't in some movies, oh, here's – this part's funny, but then the music comes in and cues you. No, well, now he's being sincere. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to do something where all of this exists at every moment so that you can laugh or not and still get something from it. But I'm really just trying to write about characters and write stories that feel relevant to me and interesting to me, and they're often inspired by either people I know or experiences in my own life, or they tend to. I think when I start, I tend to connect them to some kind of reality, at least reality for me, and then they become these fictions. But I'm trying to make as entertaining and pleasurable a movie as anybody is. I'm not setting out to challenge people in some way that they an experience they wouldn't want to have. I mean, it's the kind of movie I like, I guess.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Noah Baumbach, writer and director of the new Ben Stiller film, Greenberg. He joins us today from Los Angeles. New York Times film critic A.O. Scott will join us in a moment. Ben Stiller and Greta Gerwig, very right out there in Greenberg. He's a 40-year-old New Yorker, one-time kind of failed musician, sometime carpenter, hanging out in his brother's big house in L.A. while the brother and his family are off on a long vacation in Vietnam. Successful brother, Roger Greenberg, in a little bit of trouble. A big party unfolds in the house, and here he is at that party, Ben Stiller playing Roger Greenberg, haranguing a group of 20-somethings as they have a good time.
The thing about you kids is you're all kind of insensitive. I'm glad I grew up when I did, because your parents were too perfect at parenting. All that baby Mozart and Dan Zane songs. You're so sincere and interested in things. There's a confidence in you guys that's horrifying. You're all ADD and carpal tunnel. You wouldn't know agoraphobia if it bit you in the ass, and it makes you mean. You know, you say things to someone like me who's older and smarter with this life air. I'm freaked out by you kids. Hope I die before I end up meeting one of you in a job interview.
It makes you mean, says Roger Greenberg to the 20-somethings, Ben Stiller playing it, but he feels as mean as can be right there. What's going on in that scene, Noah?
Well, I think he I mean, in that scene, there's his niece has thrown this big party, mm-hmm. has come back to the house he's house-sitting in and thrown this mm-hmm. big party, and I think for him it becomes both fantasy and nightmare.
He's the old
on one
guy.
Hand, it's how great to have all this young life in my mm-hmm. just walk into my house and come alive and there's alcohol and drugs and he's sort of goes for the ride and I think on one hand connects him to an earlier time in his life. On the other hand, it's these people tend to meet him with indifference, and I think he starts to feel more insecure and out of place, and realizing this is not his life anymore. And I think that motivates what we just heard.
Starts lashing out right there. He's put up against in this film or alongside the wonderful Greta Gerwig playing Florence. She's a personal or household assistant to his brother's family. The brother's gone, so Greta's kind of helping him out. They mm-hmm. Have a romance. It's pretty awkward. The dog, Mahler, is having trouble all through this film, and at one point they take the dog to the vet's office, and you hear just Roger always just kind of sandpaper here. Florence trying to get along, go along, make things okay.
How long do we wait?
I don't know. They seem kind of busy. Should I go ask?
If you want.
Do you want to do it?
Oh. Okay. They know we're here, but...
Hi.
Do you know how much longer for Mahler?
You know, I think we're just waiting for a doctor to get out of the room.
Okay. She thinks that they're just waiting for a doctor to get out of the room.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Roger Greenberg and Florence in Greenberg there. Florence played by Greta Gerwig and, of course, Greenberg played by Ben Stiller. What were you looking for in this interaction as you put this screenplay together with Jennifer Jason Leigh Noah Baumbach?
Well, in the very early stages, I had the ideas for this character of Greenberg. It was a character, as I said, sort of someone I felt I knew and knew well, both in real life and also just I felt I understood this guy. And then I also had the Florence character was also a character that was very clear in my mind in many ways of a person I felt I knew. And I wanted to figure out a movie that could somehow hold these two people. And of course, the early difficulty came from, well, if you have somebody who, in the case of Roger, who really never leaves the house, how can he meet anybody? So right. I think it was Jennifer who had the idea that Florence could be Roger's brother's personal assistant. So that was I thought a great stroke there was, which was, well, that way she has to come over. And
she has no choice to a point.
So, yeah. So dramatically in the movie, a lot of the challenge was, well, how do we force Roger out of the house and having a sick dog and having to occasionally buy groceries? Those count for major action scenes in this movie. And then how do you get other people to the house so that Roger can interact with them?
She is just so great in this movie, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, she's special. She's terrific.
Well, maybe this is being described as her breakout film, kind of a well-known indie presence, but maybe breaking out in Greenberg. We've got so many callers for you, Noah. Beth in Exeter, New Hampshire. You're on the air with Noah Baumbach.
Hi, Tom and Noah. Noah, I heard you speak years ago at a screening of your first film, Kicking and Screaming, at the Key Cinema in Washington, D.C., and it's just been such a pleasure to watch your career unfold since then. And something I've enjoyed in your films is the richness of the performances. It seems to me that you write really fully developed characters. So I'm curious, you know, after you complete the screenplay, how much of the character is set in your mind and how much room do you leave for the actors to fill out what you've written and to find characters beyond how they've existed for you?
That's great. Thanks, Beth. Noah?
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's not always the same. I try to be open to each actor, too, to see what they – how they come at it. I mean, I have my ideas, but I want to also learn from them. And it's true. I write the scripts I work a long time on them, and I don't tend to improvise when I'm shooting a movie. So when I rehearse with the actors, which I also like to do before we shoot, I'm not looking for them to make up words or paraphrase. I really want to try and get this dialogue as sort of give it its due. But at the same time, I'm really looking to turn this part over to the actor. It's in some ways it's a relief to have lived with these people through the writing stage and then to let go of them and let these other people interpret them. And I really see all those performances. They're total collaborations. I mean, I think all the actors, and I've really been particularly, really my whole career, but particularly in these last three movies that I've done, I really feel like I've worked with you know, some of the best actors out there. And
there's a looseness in the performances, even though you're famously like to, you know, work hard on the script and use that script in the film, still somehow you get a real kind of a natural performance out of your main actress here.
Yeah, which is what I want. I'm not trying to get them to, I mean, I hear the dialogue in my head a certain way, but I can't, I'm not good enough to give them a line reading or which wouldn't be helpful anyway. But I let them – I really want to try and give them enough time to try things, to make mistakes, to do it too much, to do it too little, to – and I'm there to guide them. But I want that looseness. I don't want the dialogue to feel written at all. I mean, I take it as a great compliment when people say, oh, how much improvisation was in the movie, mm-hmm. because that's what I'm trying for. And then I think that's – it's – I mean, when I'm writing, I suppose I'm kind of improvising in my own head. But it's – I mean, it's really one of the main things I love about directing is working with actors and letting an actor and helping an actor if I can turn themselves over to a part.
Noah Baumbach is director of Greenberg with Ben Stiller and Greta Gerwig in theaters now. He joins us today from Los Angeles, and we'll get to more of your calls. Noah, we're happy to have with us also today A.O. Scott, film critic for the New York Times. Always love having him on the show. He joins us today from Chicago. A.O. Scott, thanks very much for being here, and tell us where do you place Noah Baumbach and his work in American film these days?
Okay. Go right to the tough history of cinema question. I would say right in between. I don't know. I have to say, for me, his films strike a personal chord with me that's very unusual. I mean, I see, you know, a lot of movies from all over the world and enjoy mm-hmm. all different kinds of movies. In all the way back from Kicking and Screaming, which was long before I was a film critic, I had a kind of uncanny feeling that this person, who I've never met, by the way, knew me very well.
Good.
I felt that way about Squid and the Whale, the Jesse Eisenberg character, the kid in that movie. I half of the time I was thinking, well, isn't that's me? How did he know? And with Greenberg, it's a similar kind of feeling that there's something about this character, this guy in his early 40s, kind of uncomfortably drifting toward middle age, and trying to figure out how he's going to live. Still, you know, still sort of facing the identity crisis that started in his 20s, and you feel like has continued without interruption since then. That was. You know, as Noah was saying earlier, it's a lot of people that I know, and there's some, you know, some sense that I feel, you know, watching this movie, that this guy is me or there, but for mm-hmm. you know, for some series of fortunate accidents, go I. So I think that there he has a great ability to kind of to make comedy out of these kind of painful. Family and social situations and you know, the psychological discomfort of his characters. And also, there's a lot of insight into the way these characters live their kind of maybe their larger social context. So you can look at Squid and the Whale both as a very intimate picture of a family, but also as a kind of a comedy of manners, say, of a certain kind of intellectual, and I think there's something similar going on in Greenberg. You see these Greenberg and his old friends, these people in their 40s, still trying to figure out how to be grown-ups, mm-hmm. and living these lives that are both from a material point of view very comfortable, but from maybe a psychological or even spiritual point of view very uncomfortable.
We want to hear more on that front about where. Our guest, Noah, falls. We've got lots of callers as well. Gary, Swampscott, Massachusetts. Gary, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Noah. How are you? My question is in regards to the character of Greenberg. I saw the film last night. I thought it was pretty good. but in regards to his character, I saw this sort of duality in a sense of kind of a hypocrisy in the way that he leads his life, in the way that he sort of holds others to this high standard of high service, you know, like American Airlines. He seems very dissatisfied with the way others treat him.
He's always writing letters of complaint to somebody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he, at the same time, he's, you know, the way that he treats others, he doesn't seem to hold himself up to that same standard. I was wondering if Noah could sort of comment on that. Were you intending to write that hypocrisy into his character?
Noah?
Totally. I think it's very true of him, and I think it's very true of a lot of people who are unsatisfied in some way with their lives, that they tend to take it out on the world, or it's someone else's fault, or and I mean, even Greenberg's credo, I'm trying to do nothing, is totally ridiculous. I mean, he says that because if he actually says what he is doing, he's embarrassed. But if he's doing nothing, it seems like he's dropped out in some more heroic way. I think he's totally preoccupied with the sort of myth of his life and trying to revise it and playing a game only with himself, because as you see in the movie, nobody else cares. I mean, mm-hmm. if he told anybody he was a carpenter in the beginning of the movie, people would be fine with that. But it's not something he feels he can admit. I think he's totally hypocritical, but I also think that's okay. I mean, I think it's understandable.
Tony Scott, you see movies all the time. What percentage get into this kind of nuance of human nature, human characters, the kind we see in Noah's films?
A very few, and I think, I think sadly few American movies do, either you know, big commercial movies or even independent movies. I get the feeling a lot of times of watching characters who are basically cogs in a predetermined machinery of plot. And you know, you watch a romantic comedy or an adventure movie or even, you know, some of the kind of indie genres, and you're aware always of the story driving the characters rather than maybe emerging from the situations of the characters. I think that Noah's movies feel a lot of the time more like French movies of a certain kind. Thinking of like a filmmaker like Arnaud Desplechin, whose stories tend to feel very kind of messy and digressive and maybe a little anecdotal. The way that Greenberg, I think, does it you know, kind of wanders into its story and it follows the characters and gives them room. What I like about it a lot is that there's room for these characters to kind of live inside their own worlds. Not just Greenberg, but also Florence, who I think is a very, very important character in this movie, and I think a kind of not just a breakthrough performance for Greta Gerwig, but in a way a sort of breakthrough character. That is a kind of young person who we haven't quite seen outside of the so-called mumblecore movies that she's starred in, represented quite so precisely on screen.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Noah Baumbach, writer and director of the new Ben Stiller film, Greenberg. A.O. Scott, Tony Scott from the New York Times is with us as well. Film critic joins us today from Chicago. Noah Baumbach is in L.A. Here's just a little bit from the 2000 film, The Squid and the Whale. Two kids growing up in a Brooklyn struggle with the messy divorce of their hyper-intellectual parents, played here by Jeff Daniels and Laura Linney. Here's a scene where the pair are breaking the divorce news to their children and talking about arrangements.
And we'll both see you equally.
How will that work? We're splitting up the week, alternating days.
Why?
Because I love you and I want to see you as much as your mother does.
But there's 7 days.
Right.
So how will you split evenly with 7 days?
Oh, I've got you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and every other Thursday.
Every other?
That's how we each have you equally.
That was your father's idea.
Don't do this.
How will I get to school?
There's a subway 4 blocks from the house. 4 or 5. No more than 6 blocks.
What about the cat?
We didn't discuss the cat.
How will I get to school? And what about the cat? And who can't sympathize? And many did. Critically acclaimed The Squid and the Whale there from 2005. Noah Baumbach, does it feel lonely to take this kind of angle on life, this kind of angle on film? You know, Tony Scott looks to France practically to find your family, your film family. What's it like to be in that role in this country?
It's so lonely, Tom.
It's so very lonely.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's true. There aren't maybe a lot of American movies. Certainly not a lot of American studio movies that are approaching movies in the way that I am right now. But so many of the movies that I seek out or older movies that I continue to watch I feel very connected to. So, and filmmakers who I'm friendly with, I feel very connected to. So I read you went through a French film phase.
Maybe when as a teenager when you were watching Truffaut and Renoir and all the rest.
That's been going on in probably about 30 years now, mm-hmm. or maybe 25. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I do love. I think certainly the French New Wave is an era that I feel. Filmmakers like Truffaut and Romer and Chabrol and Godard, and I really. I love those movies, and I can watch them over and over again, and particularly Eric Rohmer, who made movies he almost made a version of the same movie over and over again, and each one to me feels totally different and fresh, and some are more comedic ideas based on those themes, and others are more melancholy or sadder, I probably shouldn't be, but I'm surprised a lot of times when people say to me, these characters seem so different from other characters. I guess I know that in some way, but I also feel like I'm working within a certain film tradition that is very alive in my head. So I guess it's a long way of saying that it's not so lonely.
Tony Scott, why don't we get more of this, though? Is it an industry problem? Is it an audience problem in America?
I don't know. I mean, I think I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't want to overstate the uniqueness of Noah's movies, although there
no,
are.
No, but as
you
say,
there
in the flood
is.
That comes across your eyeballs, this isn't
let's,
exactly.
Let's overstate it. Let's overstate it.
Okay. It's without precedent in the history of cinema.
Wonderful.
you can use that if you want.
Can we put that on the poster?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. That'll bring people, you know, streaming in, I'm sure. It'll make $100 million. Or not. I think that there are, you know, a lot of movies that are, you can look at going back to Paul Mazursky or Mike Nichols or John Cassavetes or even I think mm-hmm. Woody Allen. You know, I think that in terms of a kind of skeptical, slightly cynical comic take on characters and on human behavior and what they do. I think it is hard. One thing that you brought up earlier, Tom, is that there is. I think an exaggerated premium placed on the likability of characters, and I think that there's great concern, you know, at the level of producers and certainly of studios that you have relatable, likable characters, which often to me means, especially when you're thinking about the genre of romantic comedy, which is one of the great American commercial genres going all the way back to mm-hmm. to the beginning of the sound era, that you have characters who are completely uninteresting because there's such a premium on them being inoffensive and likable. Right. And I think that something that has been maybe lost a little bit or has gone, you know, sort of sunk down to the level of independent film is an idea of making movies about kind of strongly defined, unusual individuals, and allowing the idiosyncrasies of the characters some room. And I think that that's one thing that I find, you know, always very, very satisfying and interesting about Noah's movies, is that you don't know these people to begin with. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you recognize some things about Roger Greenberg, maybe, and certainly you recognize, oh, that's mm-hmm. Ben Stiller, which is has an interesting effect in the movie, to see someone who's such a big movie star, who's, you know, who you think, oh, Dodgeball, Tropic Thunder, right. Zoolander, that guy. But you don't feel like you know everybody in this movie from the start. And in fact, you find out, you know, they turn out to be unpredictable even to themselves. I mean, I don't think that, mm-hmm. you know, Florence knows what her relationship with this guy is going to be from the outset. And even as it goes along, both of them kind of go back and forth and have great ambivalence about each other. And just to see those kind of gray areas explored, I think is can be perplexing sometimes to some audiences. I mean, definitely in the comments section on the New York Times movie page after my review, there are a lot of people who are baffled and perplexed and offended by this movie. But I think it's also admirable to risk that kind of response.
Noah, you directed, but you co-wrote with your wife, Jennifer Jason Leigh. What was that like? Did she take a role and you took a role? I mean, were you Roger and she was Florence, or is it all mixed together? How's it work to co-write with anybody, let alone your wife, your spouse?
Well, we even in the past, when I haven't worked with her officially, I always show her things, mm-hmm. and at various stages of the writing. It was true of Squid and the Whale and Margot, and with this one, I showed her something. I had many of the elements that are in the final movie were in the early draft, mm-hmm. but they were much less formed and much less connected. And I had Florence and Greenberg and Los Angeles and the dog, but she was just so incisive when she looked at the early pages and had so many ideas that we decided to work officially on this one together. But in many ways, it wasn't that different than how we have worked in the past. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, one person takes one role, one person takes another role. It's kind of a big mix. I would like to say, I think what Tony was saying is interesting, and it's something I think I realized later in the process of Greenberg that the movie wasn't about another version of this movie. You might meet the main character and after 15 minutes or so get an idea who he is, and then the story would start and you'd watch him go through a transformation. The movie really the whole movie you're learning who he is, because mm-hmm. he's learning who he is. And so I think the movie gives you that kind of experience not literally being, you know, or sort of, it's not his total point of view, but I think you're having the experience of self-discovery watching the movie.
Also, it starts with Florence. It doesn't.
Right,
it doesn't start
right.
with him. It's
right, and it's true of Florence also.
Her, and you're in her world. You're just kind of riding in the car with
bopping
her,
along
mm-hmm. for a while, and you're seeing something about. Just even the way she, you know, handles making a left turn mm-hmm. reveals something about her own the kind of the indecisiveness or tentativeness or anxiety that is part of her story and part of what connects with the Greenberg character's very different anxieties.
You quickly come up against that danger of bitterness that can come along with middle age and what hasn't happened. A very exaggerated version right here, but nevertheless, as you say, no, I think lots of people touch that story.
I'm not sure how exaggerated it is.
No. well, I mean, okay, but he's Greenberg and the others in this film aren't. He's the one who's way out on the limb. Middlebury, Connecticut. Leah, you're on the air, Leah.
Hi, it's such a pleasure. My question is, while you're writing the script, are you thinking about potentially which actors might be appropriate for this role?
Yeah, we've got a web comment on question on that line as well, Noah, here from Tom. Says, was Stiller a natural pick for the role? He's really good at being that guy who's a loser, whiny, but lovable. Would there have been another pick for the role if Stiller had turned it down? What about these two, Noah?
Well, in answer to the first question, in early stages or for most of the writing process, while I'm still figuring it out, I tend not to think of actors. I mean, I'll certainly I might think of somebody, and Jennifer and I will talk about it. But I don't write the parts for actors. Part of this is even just to protect myself if an actor doesn't want to do it, and I feel like I've structured it for them. But mostly it's because I think I need to feel some illusion of the freedom in creating these people, that they and I need to believe they exist somewhere on the planet for real, and not go right to the artifice. It's knowing that I'm going to have plenty of time later to figure that out. But it does sometimes create difficulty in casting if the part feels super specific, and you know, particularly in this case, you have somebody named Greenberg, it ruled a lot of actors out. Although I spent many dinners with Jennifer rationalizing who might be, you know, be considered right. Jewish, maybe under a certain
that wouldn't
light.
Work. No, that wouldn't yeah. work. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Though originally I wrote the character younger, so Ben wasn't even really eligible. I had written the character as 30 in the very early drafts of the script, which is hard to believe now because I feel like the movie is so about
40
or early middle age. Mm-hmm. And so but I think it had more to do with what I was sort of connecting to in my own life. Ben in a way was an inspiration to make the character older, because I kept thinking, I wish Ben Stiller were either 10 years younger
right.
or Dustin Hoffman were 30 years younger.
Yeah.
And that's the answer to that. I mean, it's interesting about casting, because a part like that Jeff Daniels plays in The Squid and the Whale, I think I was turned down by pretty much every 50 to 60-year-old actor in Hollywood.
Wow.
And Jeff, for me and for people who respond to that movie, so defines that part. And I feel really lucky to have had him in the movie and to have
no
done
kidding.
That.
Yeah.
But it's you just never know. And a lot of people say, oh, well, it always works out. But, you know, you hope it always works out.
Maybe pray. Let's go to Madison, Wisconsin. And Mike, you're on the air.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. First of all, I just wanted to say that I actually lived through that earlier kind of arrangement that was being discussed in The Squid and the Whale earlier. Very funny. It resonates with me a lot. I love that movie. But
with parents breaking up, you and a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, especially the inter-week, intra-week time, changing where you go. It's an interesting thing. But
right.
I'm actually especially calling to talk about The Life Aquatic, which I think was really rather overlooked. One of my favorite movies of the decade.
Co-written by Wes Anderson and Noah Baumbach.
Exactly. I especially enjoyed, I believe it was Noah on the DVD, the voiceover with Wes talking about the writing process of that movie. If that wasn't you, Noah, I'm sorry about that. But I enjoyed that movie a lot. I wondered how he thought his sort of the sensibility that you all have been discussing that comes from him, how that made it into that movie or into some of the other work he does with Wes Anderson, and also just where he what he thought about the Steve Zissou character when he first encountered it.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Wes? Noah, excuse me.
see if I can get Wes on my phone.
Right, yeah. Right.
I was told to turn it off, though.
Yeah,
so. The difference in working with Wes, and I mean, Wes is really the only, I mean, outside of Jennifer, but Jennifer and I have collaborated on things that I directed. I with Wes, those movies were, I was really there to help him get to a place that get the script to a place where he felt it was something he wanted to make. And Wes has got such a distinct sensibility and which I love. And it was really – it's really fun to participate in that and to throw out ideas. And, you know, I think there are areas where our sensibilities dovetail, but there's we make very different kinds of movies too.
Good luck when they're out there on the screen, whether in The Life Aquatic or Fantastic Mr. Fox, or you this time with Greenberg. Just wonderful. It's been great talking with you, Noah Baumbach, co-writer and director of Greenberg. Noah, thank you very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. It was fun.
And A.O., Tony Scott, a film critic for the New York Times, joining us from Chicago. Tony, thank you very much for dropping in.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Special thanks today to On Point senior producer, Wen Stevenson. As he moves on the great journey of life, our gratitude and very best wishes go with him. And a big welcome to our incoming senior producer, Karen Schiffman. On we go. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.